This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. Scott also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to their website at swtc.edu/golf for more information. Joined by Gary D'Amato, I am Rob Hernandez, and it is the Monday after the Masters, and I can't go any further without bowing to my colleague. He picked the winner, Dustin Johnson. Gary D'Amato, you are the guru.
You know what, Rob? I think it would have been much more impressive had I picked Cameron Smith and Sungjae Im to tie for second, because no one saw that coming.
Not at all. Not at all. It was a great Masters. I enjoyed having it in November. I enjoyed the it interweaving with my college and professional football Saturday and Sunday. Gary, first of all, your impressions overall about a November Masters?
Good. You know, I thought, you know, the course, interestingly, I thought some of the TV shots, some of the camera work was really good. Some of those aerial shots that we never saw of Augusta National, especially with the fall foliage, I thought was excellent. I was a little surprised at how beat up the course looked. And I think it's probably because of the time of year, you know, the overseed and the green surrounds that weren't quite what they were in past years, but they were pretty patchy in spots and the greens got brown actually, which you never see in an April Masters. But I thought the competition was great. Dustin played otherworldly golf. I mean, he was really, really good. But you know what? The most impressive thing about this Masters was, Rob? Tiger Woods makes a 10 on the 12th hole, right? Highest score in his, of any hole he's ever played as a professional, but then birdies five of the next six holes, of the last six holes. How impressive! I mean, how many guys would do that, right?
And we're gonna get to Tiger in that comeback, because it really has been the buzz, and for a lot of different reasons. Just because you know, we've seen him, you know, implode like that before and not handle it quite as gracefully, but. You know, for better or worse, we need to spend a lot of time talking about Dustin Johnson. And I thought you hit the nail on the head in what you wrote today. Dustin Johnson is unlike so many golfers, because we really don't know what's going on between the ears. We never know what's going on, you know, visually. He doesn't get too high, too low. He's got all the game in the world. He probably should have won a green jacket, you know, well before this, but, I guess, in essence, Gary, this is what makes him tick. I mean, he is the guy, he's almost like the robo golfer, and as long as he's healthy, he's somewhat unstoppable.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, Bryson DeChambeau was like the big thing going into this Masters, and we barely talked about him because he didn't play very well. In fact, Bernhard Langer, you know, beat him when they were paired together. 63-year-old man who hits the ball 250 beat the, you know, the gorilla, Bryson DeChambeau. But, you know, Dustin Johnson, you know, he's obviously the number one player in the world in the world ranking, and he's worn that mantle of best player in the world off and on for 6 or 8 years, if not longer now. This just goes to show that when he is on, he is the best. I mean, Rory McIlroy might be able to match his talent, but Rory gets in his own way, you know, and Dustin doesn't do that.
He doesn't. I go back to the PGA. He almost won at Whistling Straits, were it not for the was it a penalty area? Was it not a penalty area in the what we always played as waste bunkers on media day? It became sand traps and sand bunkers.
Yeah.
You know, going back to then, you know, it seems as though when Dustin Johnson had an opportunity to win a Masters, it wasn't necessarily something that he did wrong. A lot of times, to me, it seemed like fate would intervene.
Yeah, and then a couple of years ago, when I think it was 2017, he went into the Masters as the old prohibitive favorite and, you know, slipped on some stairs. Remember that incident? Hurt his back,
right?
And couldn't play. he might have won that year. We might be talking about a two-time Masters champion. But, you know, now that he's won one of these, you know, you can say the same for Patrick Reed, and you could have maybe said the same thing for Jordan Spieth until he lost his game. But you'd expect him to win more now. Would it surprise me if Dustin won three of these green jackets? Not at all. He's got probably 8 or 9 more really good years to get it done.
He is 36 years old. And yeah. Again, he's got the body type, Gary. I mean, I think he's in tremendous shape, but he isn't the chiseled guy that maybe Tiger, Jason Day, and now, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, although I don't think we can call Bryson chiseled. I mean, he's strong in certain areas, but I just feel Dustin seems to be built for the long haul, maybe a lot like a Phil Mickelson, where if he takes care of his body the right way, we may be talking about a Dustin Johnson who's good, you know, I'm not sure we can go 9 more years to 45, let alone 10, but somewhere in that range where he's going to be a factor here going forward.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Rob. He's got, I think people underestimate how hard he works, because he kind of shows up and sometimes it looks like he's just kind of ambling along and going through the motions. And I compared him in my column today to Freddie Couples, who sort of had that same vibe. You know, people thought Freddie didn't work hard enough, didn't care enough. But he did, obviously, and so does Dustin. I mean, you don't win 24 times on the PGA Tour without, you know, with not caring what you do. But, yeah, I see him going forward, you know, and being a force unless injury gets in the way. I can't see him, you know, not continuing to win and getting to 30 or 35 or more victories on the PGA Tour and maybe 5 or 6 majors.
My little note that I wrote down before we went on the air, Gary, a little bit of Masters trivia. At 6'4", Dustin Johnson is the second tallest Masters champion. You know who the tallest one is?
George Archer, 6'7".
6'7"? I saw on the internet 6'5", so I thought he was closer than that. But I remember George Archer from his GMO days.
Yeah.
And he was a tall cup of water. I mean, that guy was huge. And what's funny is Dustin Johnson, the same height as Andy North. And you just don't see many guys. I mean, we've seen a lot of strong people, but we haven't seen a lot of the you know, I mean – 6'4" guys. I mean, I guess hard to really pinpoint, you know, because we never hear their height and weight in the intros to a final round of a major championship, you know, where they from Coastal Carolina, Dustin Johnson, 6'4". But I mean, he is a tall man, but so graceful in what he does, and especially, you know, we've been talking so much in the year 2020 about distance. And because of its impact on the game with a lot of these guys who are trying to test the limits of what the rules will allow. But I really enjoy watching Dustin in and around the greens, because he's able to get out of a lot of trouble, and he doesn't put himself in a lot of trouble, but he really works well with, he's got soft hands for a guy his height.
He does. And you know, the other thing people don't realize is what a tremendous athlete he is. You know, talk about, athletes who become golfers or golfers who were athletes and are athletes. Dustin is in that mold. I guess he was I hear he was a tremendous basketball player when he was young. I know he can stand under the basket and jump up and two-handed dunk. It's interesting when you talk about size, though. You know, he'd be probably an average point guard, you know, in the NBA. He would be too tall to play wide receiver. And he's one of the taller golfers out there who's been, you know, great. So it's interesting how height plays, you know, it plays different roles in different sports.
I looked it up one time. He was a senior at Coastal Carolina the year that Oosberg's Patrick Stolpe was a freshman. And again, you know, who goes through Coastal Carolina and goes on to win a major championship? Not many guys. This isn't Vanderbilt we're talking about here, is it, Gary?
No, it's not. And, you know, Dustin, you know, I think there's been many stories written, and he's talked about it. He was sort of directionless as a young man, you know, didn't put in much work, just had so much natural talent, and, you know, bounced around a little bit and was, you know, was hard to coach, all that stuff. But obviously he's matured, you know, he matured, and he's got his act together. He's got his game together. He's got a nice, a beautiful family, and he's got Wayne Gretzky in his corner giving him pep talks every day. That doesn't hurt.
He's got now 3 years in a row with at least 2 top tens in a major, with the T2 at the PGA this year, T6 at the U.S. Open. You forget how good his major championship record was this year because we played them all out of order. And then you go back to last year, a pair of runner-up finishes at the Masters, the PGA, that was called knocking on the door. You know, and before that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, top tens on the resume. And of course, the 2016 US Open, at that point, you're thinking, you know, there's nothing this guy can't do. As we look at, you know, next year's, you know, major championship run, it starts at Augusta National. Is it going to help or hurt Dustin in his, you know, efforts to now pad, you know, his two major championship totals to have to turn around, play in different conditions on the same golf course in that same major, hopefully with fans, hopefully with more hoopla. And you know, I think I read, in fact, another guy that was you were the only one that had to cover this one remotely. We, out here in California, we had Mark Wicker from the Orange County Register, who's done a lot of Masters with you. You know, his stuff appears in the paper that we get around here. And he had a good phrase, Gary, maybe the Masters seemed scratchy and empty without fans, but Johnson's relentless brilliance would have silenced them anyway. And then you talk about Cameron Smith and Sung Jae Im right behind him. I mean, these aren't people that are that would command roars at Augusta National the way Tiger Woods or Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy would. And it's almost, you know, this leaderboard, very, you know, at 20 and then the two guys at 15, you know, everyone else was just window dressing in the final round. I mean, I'm not sure it would have been much different had there been fans. I mean, he pummeled that course away. But now in April, if there are, and if we start the major championship year with that, what are we thinking? What do we see in the future for Dustin Johnson, Gary?
Well, first of all, Mark Wicker is one of my roommates at Augusta. So we commiserated that we were both missing the Masters and had to cover it virtually. Mark's a great guy and a really good writer. Yeah, Dustin, 5 months from now, returns to Augusta with the green jacket. As I feel bad for him. He only gets to take the green jacket off the property for 5 months instead of a full calendar year. I don't think he's complaining too much about that, though. But, yeah, conditions will be different. But if you look at his record, as you pointed out, runner-up to Tiger last year, he's got a really good track record at the Masters. I don't think the timing of the Masters being 5 months away and being played again in April has anything to do with how he'll play. If he comes in with his good stuff, he's going to be right there.
And then just to kind of, you know, pull back the curtain to the 2021 major championship schedule. After that, if all things, you know, go off as scheduled, the PGA championship goes to Kiawah Island in South Carolina, the US Open out here at Torrey Pines in outside of San Diego. And then the Open Championship, which wasn't played this year, goes to Royal St. George's, which is where it was supposed to be here in 2020. And that's not one that's that, you know, we have a great track record with guys that are currently playing the game. It's not one that's always in the rota, as it were. It's an interesting major championship calendar for 2021. And with the differences, you know, so many guys that have done so well at various times this year, I'm kind of looking forward to the major championship season because I know, you know, not only because it's the build up to Whistling Straits, but because it provides some interesting venues where you've got both coasts covered. And then of course, you know, you're going overseas again and bringing the Open Championship back in the equation. Boy, I really hope we get to play all four, Gary.
Yeah, me too, Rob. You know, Kiawah Island, I believe Rory McIlroy won one of his PGAs there. And then we go to Torrey Pines, and we all know what Tiger did there in 2008. Be interesting to see what he can do next year at a U.S. Open there. So, yeah, Royal St. George's, I don't know much about it. I know a lot more about the courses that, you know, Carnoustie and St. Andrews and Muirfield, right. Some of the courses that the British Open goes to regularly. But it'll hopefully we have all four majors next year. Hopefully we have them with fans, and that hopefully we have them in the right order.
The right order. And then to put a bow on Dustin Johnson, 15,000 points now in the Ryder Cup standings for the U.S. team, more than 5,000 point lead over Bryson DeChambeau. Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa close out the top five. And then Xander Schauffele at six would be the last of the automatics if the Ryder Cup were played tomorrow. It looks like Dustin Johnson's going to be kind of your cleanup hitter for Steve Stricker, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean he's on the team unless he breaks a leg. Yeah, he's going to be the horse. And you know that point list is really interesting in the types of players that are on it. You know, we've got the bombers, we got Bryson, we've got Dustin is definitely considered a bomber, and we've got You know, not far down the list are guys like Patrick Cantlay and Webb Simpson, who aren't, won't overpower a golf course, but play very smart golf. Webb had a good Masters. Webb Simpson had a pretty good Masters, and so did Patrick Cantlay. So, yeah, it's going to be a good mix of players that Steve's going to have on his team next year.
And conversely, on Team Europe, now the point standings, Gary, as you know, haven't changed at all since July 6th when they froze them until calendar year 2021. That's how Europe chose to do it. Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Victor Perez, and Matthew Fitzpatrick were the top five on the European points, and Rahm, McIlroy, Hatton, Fleetwood, and Perez on the world points. So a lot of the same names, guys that you're probably going to see, you know, as automatics. And then you go further down, and Danny Willett, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Lee Westwood, Bernd Wiesberger, who was in the Masters. You know, again, none of these guys really excited me over the weekend. And to go back to our pool, you know, John Rahm was there for a while and until Saturday, and when Dustin went one way and John Rahm went the other. And then Rory, after that opening round 75, came roaring back, but just kind of ran out of real estate. It was an interesting Masters that way, from the fact that I thought the Team USA did gain a little bit of momentum with you know, Dustin's win being so convincing, and then Justin Thomas being up there again. We talked about him last week. Kind of thought he was, you know, again, he's on the he's the guy knocking on the door going in 2021. I would expect him to win one of the four somewhere next year, but based on the way he's playing. But you know, the guys from Europe are kind of flailing right now, but we've seen them flail a lot before and come back and have exceptional Ryder Cups.
Every Ryder Cup we of the last maybe 8 or 10, the Americans have been favored, and look what their record is. And the same will be. Steve's going to have to deal with that going in as a heavy favorite next year, and getting his guys ready to play, knowing that they're the favorites, because this American team is just loaded, and it's in my mind anyway, it's really vastly superior to the European team. Not that the European team doesn't have great players, obviously Rory McIlroy and you know. Tommy Fleetwood, he's never won in America. I explain that to me. The guy's a great player. But, yeah, I think the U.S. team on paper is very much stronger. But then you look at what's happening in Ryder Cups, and who can explain it? The Europeans just play better than the Americans in the Ryder Cup.
Day after the Masters, we're talking golf here on Talking.Golf, which is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech, led by Scott Kennedy. He's a PGA professional. He's also the coach of the Chargers men's and women's golf team in the NJCAA. To learn more about the golf management program at Southwest Tech, you can go to swtc.edu/golf. Gary, a few housekeeping items from the Masters. You mentioned Tiger's 10 on the par 3 12th. The great irony there, he quote-unquote, mastered that hole a year ago while everybody else hit balls into the water, and that led to his fifth green jacket. This year, he goes to make a 10, and then, as you said, birdies five of the last six to finish. Hal Sutton, the former U.S. Ryder Cup captain and a major championship winner himself, called it perhaps the greatest example for junior golfers of Tiger Woods' career, the way he bounced back from a 10, a very common score, Gary, on many a junior golf scorecard.
Yeah,
but not often followed by five birdies out of the next six holes. What did you think about the way Tiger turned it around?
Well, you know, you can say a lot of things about Tiger. Obviously, millions of people love him. He's got his detractors. He's had his problems off the course. You can go on and on about Tiger Woods, the good and the bad, and way more good than bad, in my opinion. But the one thing I'll say about him is, the guy never, ever gives up on a shot. He gives every shot 100%, whether he's 20 strokes off the lead or in the lead by 10. It doesn't matter. And I think that's the lesson that Hal alluded to is, you know, the hole you just played is behind you. You've got something in front of you. Give it your all. And Tiger has always done that from the time he was a little kid until we saw it yesterday.
It would have been awful, I think, Gary, if Tiger had followed up that 10 with a couple more double bogeys and like a 45 on the back nine, and then had to throw the green jacket on Dustin Johnson. That would have been kind of, I don't think he would have come into the interview area afterwards. And again, he left Augusta National with a story to tell, and for his millions upon millions of fans, he left them with hope going into 2021.
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, he looked great. I thought on Thursday he looked like he was in top form, and I really thought he was going to, you know, based on the first day's play, he was going to be a factor the whole tournament. But as the tournament went on, he started walking slower. He started, it looked like he was, you know, he was a little ginger when he was bending down to pick his ball out of the hole. And I know the announcers made mention of that. I don't know how much of that was, you know, because he wasn't playing the way he wanted to play, and how much of it was his back was acting up again. It maybe was a little combination of both. But I think back to your point on that 10 and what he did after that, it just goes to show you that he might not be in great form. He might be a little hurt, but he never gives up on a shot.
I want to say it was Jack Schultz, the amateur out of Milwaukee, who is very active on Twitter, might have made the point that I think one thing also conspiring against a number of the golfers in the field, but especially a guy like Tiger Woods, where preparation is so key, is when the Masters got thrown off schedule with the rain delay on Thursday, it really hurt him because it resulted in early wake-up calls, long days, and that's not a recipe for a guy who's, you know, again, like you said, nursing some injuries and trying to, you know, make the most of his maturing body. I don't want to call it aging. He doesn't seem to be aging very much. He just is, he's a little bit older than he appeared when he was in Milwaukee in 96. I think that might have had a factor on him too.
I think, to be fair, I think it probably did, Rob. I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday. I'm not sure which day he had to get up at 3:45 in the morning because he had that early restart time just to get his body ready to play. I would love to know what he goes through to get ready to play golf. I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff involved and massages and whatever he has, his physios working on him. But yeah, to get up at 3:45 to get ready for your round and to still be at the course as the sun is setting playing golf, that's a long day for anybody, let alone a guy with a fused back.
I picture a car wash with a lot of people, masseuses and other cardio trainers that are working the, you know, every little inch of his body to get him ready. Gary, it was a wonderful weekend to watch golf. And one of the things that you wrote about in your story was the emotion that came out of Dustin Johnson when he was interviewed after the cabin ceremony with Jim Nance and Fred Ridley out on the green talking to Amanda Baliones. I think Amanda Baliones is really one of the underrated interviewers and in golf, televised golf. As somebody noted on Twitter today in response to her thanking everybody for the reaction to you know what was posted alongside your story, the video, you know, someone mentioned that she gets long answers out of people because, quite frankly, Gary, they enjoy talking to her. And so you're treated, you know, on the weekend to Amanda Baliones, you know, with one interview style, and then, you know, the early coverage, and then especially on Thursday and Friday, Tom Rinaldi, who I would put up there with, you know, Bob Costas on that short list of terrific interviewers. It was a masterful weekend from a production standpoint with what we saw on in terms of the coverage, but certainly with the post-round interviews.
Yeah, this was Lance Barrows, the producer's swan song, from what I understand. And he had everyone in top form, I think. The announcers were great. I thought, as I mentioned earlier, some of the TV camera shots were some things we've never seen of Augusta. You could see some of the buildings, you know, Ike's Cabin, for instance, from the rear, you know, that you never see. And so I thought some of the TV work was really good. And you're right, Amanda's really good. And the whole crew is good. I thought Nick Faldo, who I'm not the biggest fan in the world, Nick Faldo, but I thought he was on his game this week. I really did.
And you and I were trading texts throughout the weekend. Of course, a lot of people on Twitter were great. Always loved to hear the voice of Vern Lundquist because he was the voice behind so many of the magical calls. Yes, sir. And then I was watching the Masters feed, and I heard a voice that I hadn't heard since seems like forever, Roger Tweibel. And he was, you know, he's a master. You know, he wasn't the – I don't think he was as appreciated as maybe he should have been back when he was the lead golf announcer on ABC because he was following some pretty large footsteps, you know, post Jim McKay. But I just thought it was a great weekend TV wise all the way around. And like you said, they had a lot to work with. You mentioned one earlier, 63-year-old Bernhard Langer plays with Bryson DeChambeau in the final round and beats him and finishes one shot ahead of DeChambeau overall. The tail of the tape there, Gary, as you probably know, Bernhard Langer averaged 250 yards off the tee, Bryson DeChambeau 315. What do you make of that? And what does it tell you about our great game in terms of who can play it?
You know, first of all, Bernhard Langer is an outlier, just like DeChambeau is, but in a totally different way, Rob. You know, playing great golf at the age of 63 still. And masterful performance by Bernhard. You know, he's got three woods and hybrids into all the par fours, and, you know, Bryson's hitting wedges and nine irons. It just goes to show you that there are more ways, more than one way to skin a cat. And, but I wonder what Bryson had to be thinking. You know, he's 70 yards ahead of this guy in every tee shot, and the guy beats him. Maybe he's back to the gym for Bryce. Maybe he has to add 30 more pounds or something. I don't know.
It's hey, old man, try to keep up.
Yeah.
And then another neat thing that came across Twitter today was the Low Am in the Masters, Andy Ogletree, the former Georgia Tech golfer. He tied for 34th today. He was in a Monday qualifier. I believe it was about 170 people for four spots for the RSM Classic, the next stop on the PGA Tour in Sea Island, Georgia, the event hosted by Davis Love. I don't know if he isn't, let me see. I don't think he's finished. I'll check, but not a good day for Jordan Hahn, bottom of the pack with a 78, the former Badger. And then Jordan Nieberg, he teed it up, shot 71. Last I looked, it took a 65 to qualify. And let me just check to see. Andy Ogletree no-showed. So he did not, and that may mean, Gary, that he got, there may have been a double WD with an exemption. He may be in the field. We'll take a look at that. But it's the wonder that is actually a 64 is playing off for the final spot.
Wow.
And which is just crazy how good you got to be to get a spot on the, you know, even in a week's, you know, a weekly qualifier for the PGA Tour events. But again, it's amazing how you go from, you know, golf's global stage to being, you know, probably carrying your own bag in a Monday qualifier. Welcome to life as a professional golfer.
You know, it's beyond me how guys even have the courage and the gumption to enter Monday qualifiers. I mean, can you imagine playing a Monday qualifier, Rob, and bogeying the first two holes? I mean, forget it. You're done, you
right.
know?
Right.
You got to shoot eight under, and you're not going to shoot eight under over the last 16 holes coming after a couple bogeys. So it's crazy how good you have to be to get in those, to get a spot in the PGA Tour field and through those Monday qualifiers.
And that's a great point, Gary. I think actually, if I had any advice for young golfers who are looking to go down that road, I would encourage them to spectate, watch, go out and stand behind the 18th green, especially if it's a, you know, a par four coming in, and count, you know, essentially estimate distance from the hole. I mean, the guys who play in this are shooting darts every shot, every hole in one of these things. I've told you the story several times about the Monday qualifier for the AmFam Championship over at the Legend at Bergamot in Oregon. And I mean, these guys at, you know, age, you know, 55, 60, 63, they're still shooting darts at these greens. And it doesn't matter how far they stretch the hole, it's going to happen there. So it is something else. And last but not least, we got to thank Alex Gaugert for his work in writing for us. Unfortunately, only one full round as a caddy for Eric Van Rooyen, but it was pretty cool to be able to read his exploits from Augusta National.
Yeah, I thought he had a lot of really good insight into the course strategy, how they were going to play the course. You know, he really thought Eric had a good chance to contend, if not win. When we talked to him, when we were setting up when he would be calling me and everything, I said, well, if he makes the cut, you know, you'll still call it around seven. And he said, Gary, stop. Makes the cut. We're going to win. I mean, that's the attitude you have to have, right?
It is.
And he was playing well, but apparently he's had this back issue going on now for a few weeks, and it got worse and worse as the week went along here at the Masters. And sadly, he had to withdraw. So Alex is recouping in the Virgin Islands, though. So good for him.
A tough way to go out, right?
Tough
plan B to be able to go into vacation mode, but it is that time of year. Great segue. Masters, Gary, usually a bridge to the beginning of the golf season. This year, it's the bridge to the end. We have more courses closing. I believe it was Grandview Golf Course in Hortonville today with the Facebook video of snow falling up in Northeast Wisconsin. I know we have great weather forecast for Thursday and in the couple days around it, not quite as good, but still playable. I think we can squeeze at least another week out of the season. Your thoughts?
Oh, you know, I keep saying, Rob, this is the last week I'm going to have a chance to play golf. And the next week comes along, we get a couple good days, and I'm raring to go again. I went out to Grant Park about 8 or 10 days ago in South Milwaukee, went one of those nice days thinking I was going to get a round in, quick nine. Rob, there were 20 guys on the first tee. I just turned around and went home. I mean, this is crazy. Not yeah. only, I mean, we've got great fall weather, but it's crazy how many people are still playing golf in November. It's wild.
And before we wrap up this edition of Talking.Golf, just a couple of quick headlines. Posted a story today. Longtime Chippewa Falls golf coach Rick Siloway passed away over the weekend, Gary. 2 weeks ago on his Facebook page, he responded to someone saying that he and his wife had tested positive for COVID-19, and that ends up taking his life. He was 70 years old, started the girls program a few years ago, took over the boys program back in 1990, one of the many, and he taught fourth grade. I was looking at his Facebook wall, and a lot of remembrances by kids who didn't have him as a coach and but had him as a teacher. And there was one kid that, one person that tried to, arrange it so that, that he or she would get, Rick at all costs. But I think it's a reminder as to not only, the impact our high school golf coaches have on the young kids today, but also, the impact COVID is having on our lives. And he was an active golf coach, and he passed away at the age of 70.
Yeah, that's very sad, Rob. I was one of those guys who, back in March and April, I kind of took the coronavirus a little lightly. I was one of those people. Now, as time has gone on, man, I'm all about wearing the mask and being safe and being socially distanced. I've seen too many people get sick, and unfortunately, too many people die from this. And please, people, take it seriously. It's no joke.
I'm right there with you. When Jerry Kelly's son Cooper came back from Italy after, the scare of something called the coronavirus, I was thinking, that'll never happen here. And what are we, 7 months later, the news conferences aren't good, and the forecast isn't great. So what my friend here, Gary, just said, I echo that. Mask up, and let's get through this. Also, National Signing Day took place last week, Gary. We continue to update today. Kaylee Kotlowski of Stoughton signed to go to UW Green Bay, so that is official for women's golf. But Marquette had a couple of top 60 recruits. And again, kind of like football, four-star, five-star, we got to kind of – there's still, high school kids making the transition to the college level, but it would appear Steve Bailey very much on his game still in the recruiting end of things for the Marquette Golden Eagles.
Yeah, Wisconsin, I saw, signed a couple of nice kids too. Obviously, we knew about one of them, right? Jacob Beckman. I mean, that was no
Jacob Beckman
was
going
to sign. But yeah, Marquette. It just goes to show you that what a job Steve Bailey's doing. His players weren't allowed to play in any events this year. That was a school decision, apparently. So you would think that might hurt recruiting a little bit, with someone on the outside saying, "Wait a second here. His guys didn't play any golf anywhere all year." But apparently he didn't, and Steve has done a great job at Marquette. He really has.
Number 14, Max Lyons, and number 59, P.A. Kilbourne. Not Kilbourn like the street, Gary, or like I'm sure one of the founding fathers of Milwaukee. I don't know my Milwaukee history quite as well as you, but I think that's a great name for the Marquette Golden Eagles. And you're right, it was Jacob Beckman out of Middleton, and then Graham Moody, a golf name. Both the first and the last name some great golf history to it, but Graham Moody out of Vancouver, Washington, and then the Badger women's golf team signs one from Rancho Bernardo High School out here in San Diego, another from Orno, Minnesota, and then a third from the state of Idaho. So Todd Erline spanning the globe, and then late last week added another one, Chloe Chan out of King George the Fifth School in Hong Kong. So again, wow. I'll be writing about it as we talk about the. I've got our junior golf rankings coming out starting this week for the next three, and that'll be something that we talk about the impact that international students are having on the game, and how a lot of these kids, good is good, but you're going to have to be great to get noticed by Division I programs. And I think the good news is that despite coronavirus, despite the extra eligibility, a lot of these programs kind of recruiting as they have been in the past and providing opportunities to kids who certainly have earned it, and can't wait to see what kind of impact these kids have on their programs. Gary, I think that takes us to the end of what are you going to do now with no major championship golf? We spent most of the year waiting for it, and now it's over. What are we going to do?
Well, Rob, we could always take a vacation and go play golf somewhere.
I like that idea. You know what I was looking at? I'm supposed to write something on Torrey Pines for Golf Time Midwest, and I've got to take care of. They said I could play the courses, and I've never played the North Course, so I was looking. Nice. You know, and now this time of year, you got to play pretty much before 1 p.m. to get all 18 in, and they do have tee time. So I'm thinking I'm going to try to get two rounds in at Torrey before Christmas, and then write about it for the magazine. That's on my bucket list. So I hope you get a couple more rounds in, get one in at least on Thursday somewhere, and somewhere where there's not 20 guys waiting in front of you on the first tee. I can't Crazy. Believe you're not like Moses in the parting of the tee box where Gary D'Amato's in the house and you just get this man to the first tee.
Yeah, you know, I just looked at that and I just said, well, I'm not playing at Grant Park today. I did go to Ives and I got 9 in at Ives Grove.
Good.
27 good. Holes there. I was able to sneak out. I got out at 3:30, Rob, and I finished 9 holes, so that was pretty good.
Wow, that is good. Yeah. That is good. Yeah. I went out last week at it was a 2:40 tee time, and I at least finished in daylight. The week before, it was the last hole was pitch darkness, probably one of the darkest finishing holes I've ever finished in. But such is life this time of year. Well, for Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. We thank you for listening to Talking Golf, sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk again next week.